All right. So I think the Coles and the Guyans are somewhere. They're already there. They're already there already. So they're already in Ashland, Ohio already. From what I understand, they had a pretty uneventful trip other than Stephen running out of gas, which was pretty funny in the middle of the desert. But, he was pretty close. The picture was pretty close. So, it's when this time of change and change and transition, it's always tough to see, you know, good friends leave. And, this is just one of those times where this is where we're at. With change comes uncertainty, right? Like what the future actually holds for us here at Northgate. You know, we tend to ask questions, or questions could be asked, like, why would they leave us, you know, kind of a thing. Could we have done more? I know that I've offered to, like, pay for Stephen's golf, like, every month while he was out here. But then for me personally, it tends to go like, okay, so who's going to replace him? Who's going to be the next guy or gal? What's the family going to be like, right? Because to me, in my head, like, the Coles and Stephen, nobody could be better than that guy, right? I don't want to learn to like another person. You know, that takes time. It takes time and energy, right, to get to know somebody. And what it comes down to for me in my own personal experience, these reasons typically are pretty selfish a lot of times. And I have to remember that the story that the Coles and the Guyans, that the story that they were a part of here at Northgate continues on with us here today. It's just as important because the story involves a great God, right? You know? The reason that it hurts so badly sometimes, at least for me in my life, is because of all of the impact that they've done on this corner, right? People were turned to Jesus here during that 8 years. People were baptized. Lives were changed forever. And we were able to be a part of that, a part of God's divine plan. I think Stephen mentioned before that he got that text message from his friend who said, how does a pastor from a minute church become the executive director? Well, I'll tell you what, this minute church has been around a while, right? This year in September, we celebrate 95 years of being a congregation, right? That's a big deal. At least to me it is, right? It gives me reassurance that, A, the story of Northgate is one of importance, and that it continues on and will continue on. So what happens now? We're going through a process right now. We're working with our brethren team, Mobilize, to find us a replacement guy. That's why we need those surveys. But what's the plan for Northgate Community Church? What are some things that could help during this time? What can help the feeling of loss or the feeling of the unknown, the feeling of the what's next? And how can we come together and continue what God has already started here? So let's go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 2. So we were in Philippians chapter 1. Stephen preached out of that last week. So we're going to start in chapter 2 here. There was a time of trial for the people in this church here. And Paul has some words of encouragement, a charge, and kind of puts it all together here. So let's read verses 1 through 13 here together. I'm reading from the NLT, if you have your little tablets or phones there. We're going to read it here. It says, "Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort in his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. thinking of others better than yourself. Don't look out for your own interests, but take interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equally with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, and took a humble position as a slave, and was born a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names. The name was Jesus. The name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12. Says, dear brothers, you also followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. During this time of transition and finding a new pastor, sometimes we could wrestle with the fact that we can't see the end in sight. We're still too early in the process. We can get stuck in that kind of mindset. But Paul, right off the bat, in verse 1 here, has some real encouraging words here. He says this, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? And when they talk about encouragement, it talks about, it's kind of an action of Jesus calling us or summoning us to him. Is there any comfort in his love? So this love is agape love, so it's a deep desire love, the love that God has for us. So we become encouraged, and then the comfort. How are we continually being comforted by his love? Again, that takes prayer. It takes meditation, it takes reading the Bible, getting as much of Jesus as we possibly can. It's a progress. Comfort is a progress. And he talks about fellowship of the Spirit. The word for that, which we've probably heard once or twice before, is koinonia. So that's kind of gathering together in intentional fellowship time. And then there's the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. We should gather together and have the Spirit be a part of it. And it's interesting, when I think about these first three parts right here, is the first two start with us, right? Starts with our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus, and then it moves to a more corporate experience. We call that church, right? When we get together. We get together and we gather intentionally and we listen to the Holy Spirit and see what he has to say. We call that church. It talks about being tender and compassionate, right? So the Romans and the Jews back in this time, they had a different meaning for the same word. So in Romans, when they talk about being tender and compassionate, they talked about like the bowels, like the inside of somebody, like the physical parts. But the Jewish people took that and they kind of made a more spiritual meaning to it. It says, at the heart at which mercy resides. This reflects how we see people. So we see here, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Who needs that here today during this time? Who needs encouragement? Who needs constant comfort from the love of Jesus? Do our hearts need to have mercy for those in our lives who need it? Whose shoes do we need to wear, right? And again, it starts with us aligning our lives with Jesus first. Then we move into allowing the Holy Spirit to be a part of our gatherings. Paul then gives us another corporate mandate, a kind of a charge or a goal as a group of people who invite the Holy Spirit. And this is what it says here in verse 2. It says, "Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose." So what is our one purpose, right? We tend to have one, we can have a one purpose for our, individually for ourselves, and then for us here at Northgate. Right off the bat, I can think of that we should proclaim the name of Jesus so that the lives of the people that we interact with could be changed forever. That should be first and foremost. What about something more specifically? What are some of the things that God has placed on our hearts here that we are doing right now? Well, within the last couple of years, we've been raising and mentoring leaders to take leadership positions. You've let a young guy 8 years ago who only preached once preach more and more each year, and that's unique. We have a children's ministry that's pretty rocking right now. We have people taking care of specific needs in and outside of our church family. We have people meeting regularly outside Sunday morning services and having fellowship, this koinonia, together. And I hear that there's more and more of that wanting to happen. During this time of questioning and where we're going, I can't feel but encouragement that we're in a pretty good place. That we're doing what God has wanted us to do. And of course, Paul has a warning for all of us during these times, right? So let's read verses 3-5 here again. It says, "Do not be selfish. Do not try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take the interest of others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." We have to be able to protect the purpose and the plan and the goal that we have here in Northgate. We have to protect that united purpose. We have to keep our own thoughts and motives pure and in line with what Scripture says and what God has charged us to do. We must have the same attitude that Christ had. And what was the attitude of Christ? What was his posture? How did he view himself? Verses 6 through 11 talk about how he was hanging out with God, and then Jesus came down and humbled himself, right? He was born a human, and he positioned himself as a slave. He humbled himself. He didn't cling to his divine heritage. He eventually died a criminal's death on the cross. Jesus, in his divine position, came to earth and positioned himself with us humans, with all of our faults, worries, anxieties, and doubts, our physical needs, and humbled himself. And God honored that, right? God was pleased with that. Again, what we do here at Northgate and moving forward should not be what we want, but what God is pleased with. We're the direction where we could be sensitive to the direction of the Holy Spirit. That should fuel our united purpose. That should fuel everything that we do around here. Then Paul has some additional words here. So let's read verses 12 through 13 again. It says, "Dear brothers, you have always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with a deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." So So he gives us an additional charge. The New American Standard Version says, work out your salvation. Instead of, in the NLT says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. To work out your salvation, again, our salvation is the eternal life that is given to us when we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we need to work it out. It literally means to work out. Just like you would go to the gym if you went to the gym, right? It shouldn't be static. We shouldn't just let it sit there and do nothing. We should exercise it. We should practice what the Word of God does and see the effects of that. It's not something that's public. It's not something that is for all to see, but it's part of our personal journey to work out this salvation. So what tend to be the results of working out salvation? Again, it could be meeting with somebody and having their perspective changed. The way they thought before could be different. Do we work it out? Do we pray enough? Do we read our Bibles enough? Do we take time away to kind of meditate and think about what God's plan for our life is? That takes time. He also says to obey God and keep reverence and fear. So a lot of times when we talk about obey and obeying God, it tends to be rules, rules, rules. But in this case, it talks about listening. Listening to God and having a deep reverence and fear. I'm reading a book called The Rules of Saint Benedict, and he got so tired of seeing secular life, he decided to take a break and walk 30 miles. And this is back in, 400 AD. Took a 30-mile walk to a cave and spent time by himself to listen to what God and the Holy Spirit was saying to him. A couple weeks ago, I talked about the still small voice, being able to recognize what that is. We need to continually be in awe and wonder of what and who God is and the things that He can do. Do we keep a divine and cosmic viewpoint of who He is? He is bigger than this time in our lives. He wants to encourage us and bring us near to Him and to comfort us. For what? So we can have a united purpose, so we can stick this out, we can move forward, we can be here another 90 years. And Paul has this encouraging charge for us here. Verse 13, it says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." God is working in us here, right? He gives us the power, the energy, the passion to do the work that He desires. Desire is to love something, right? What would be the things that we love to do? What are the tasks or the hobbies and the things that never get old? I remember when I was younger and I was doing ministry in my younger days, and I had people say, "Well, why don't you take a break?" And I would say, I can't, because I just love doing worship team so much. Those desires, those things that we love to do, do they bring value? Does God value them? There's a good chance they do. Because that's how He's wired us. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. God's doing something really awesome here. We're in a time where this doesn't happen a whole lot to a whole lot of people, right? Especially in a smaller congregation. We have a unique history that most churches don't get to. 90 years on this corner. Not on this corner, but in as a congregation. So, do we need encouraging? Do we need encouragement? Do we need comfort and peace? Is Jesus calling you next to him? We need to be in constant prayer during this time. It's serious. For a continued unified purpose for our family here. For the ministries that we do here. For the people that we talk to, we need to stay one mind and one purpose. We need to stay and continually be studying our scripture, our word, and being led by the Holy Spirit during this time. We need to humble ourselves with each other and with those that we're trying to reach out to. We need to be praying for perseverance, that we would ask for the divine power and energy that can only come from God. And we also need to pray that God would ignite in us a desire that the God of the universe would be proud of. I'm going to read verse 1 over again here. It says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? We should focus on that first verse during this time. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we're just going to take a little bit of time, and I'm going to pray over these things here, and we just take a time to quiet our souls and our minds. And we can kind of reflect and respond to what the Holy Spirit would have us here for today. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, you are the creator of everything, Lord. Nothing gets done without your hand in it. And Father, I would pray that you would just take this time, and for those who are feeling like there's an unknown thoughts or unknown plan, Lord, we just pray that you would encourage them here today. I pray that you would encourage all of us, Lord, that you would draw us near to you during this time. I pray, Lord, that we would seek your continual comfort that is only found in your love. That we wouldn't go to anything else, that we would start with you. We would pray, Lord, that we would stay tender-hearted with each other, Lord, and with the people that we're trying to build relationships with. Lord, I pray that you would continue to give us a unified purpose, Lord, and guide us during this time. That we would not rush this process, Lord, but we would embrace it so that your will would be done. Father, we also pray that we would be sensitive to the soft whisper of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that when he would speak, that we would respond boldly, Lord, knowing that it can only have come from you. Father, I pray that we would humble ourselves with each other during this time. Making us like servants, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would give us the perseverance and the energy that you bring by being in relationship with you. Help us to see that there is an end, Lord, an end goal. That we are part of a bigger story. And Lord, I just pray that God would, that you would just unite and ignite us with a passion and a desire to follow you and to know what your goal and plan is, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just want unity and clarity, Lord, and we just want to be closer to you. Thank you for your Spirit and the direction that you have for us. And we just pray this in your name. Amen. I'm going to have the worship team come up and they'll sing the last song.